The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But Jesus said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And Jesus said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly. And he thought to himself, "What should I do, for I have no place to store my crops?" Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And those things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Having grown up on a family farm and a fairly successful one, I might say, this text has always been kind of troubling to me. What do you mean we shouldn't build bigger grain bins? That was like the goal of my family. Look, our bin is bigger than the neighbor's bin. We're doing well for ourselves. Well, the size of the grain bin really wasn't Jesus' main issue, as this parable comes to us from Luke chapter 12 today. I think the bigger issue was people trying to tell Jesus to tell other people what they wanted him or them to do or not do. I'm going to back up a little bit with that. People trying to get Jesus to tell other people what they wanted to do. And I didn't really think about this until, having preached on Mary and Martha a few weeks ago, I decided to take a look at the Gospel of Luke. And it appears there's a lot of people that tell Jesus what to do, commanding Jesus to say something to someone else. Because, of course, we can command God's will. It starts in the beginning of Luke, at the temptation of Jesus, when the devil himself says, "You know, Jesus, I think you should tell these stones to become bread." And Jesus' response was, "I tell you. And just so you know, I tell you," turns up in the Gospel of Luke 46 times. Because people are always trying to tell Jesus what to tell somebody else. Mary and Martha, just a couple of weeks ago. Martha is upset because Mary's not doing enough of the housework. Now, it's not that her sitting at Jesus' feet in itself was a bad thing. But Martha had to get in the middle and try and put Jesus in a big old triangle. And Martha said, "Jesus, tell her to help me." And in today's gospel, one brother says to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." And toward the end of the gospel, the scribes and Pharisees, do you remember this? Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And the crowds are going wild. And everyone's shouting, Hosanna! And they're praising Jesus, and they know that the kingdom is about to come. And the scribes and the Pharisees say, Jesus, tell them to shut up. And Jesus says, if I tell them to shut up, the stones themselves will speak. I tell you, says Jesus. Jesus says, you don't tell me what to tell them. And man, that's hard sometimes on our egos. You know, we all believe in intercessory prayer. We believe that our prayers do affect God and God's actions. But in today's parable, what Jesus is saying is the heart that we need to worry about. The actions we need to worry about, the words we need to worry about are the ones that are our own. God is big enough to create an individual relationship with every single person on the planet, from the beginning of history to the end of time. God is big enough to create that individual relationship. We don't need God to tell people what we want. That's kind of idolatry. What Jesus is telling as a response in this story, he says, you take care. You guard your heart. Guard your heart against greed of all kinds. And greed does come in all kinds. You know, it's not just about money. Sometimes it's about achievement. We are in a very achievement-based society. We want to do bigger and better things. We want to do more. And sometimes we can have a kind of a greed attached to that, to status. A greed attached to what we want for us and for our own. Jesus says, beware of all types of greed. This week, our group that's been reading through the Bible in a year has had the opportunity to sit in the prophet Isaiah for a while. And this time around, I'm reading it in a little different version. I'm reading it from a version called The Message, translated by Eugene Peterson. And he puts it in just really clear, earthy language that everybody can understand. But as we read through Isaiah, and the book spans the period of Israel's history from before the people were in exile, when the prophet was just warning them, things are going to go south here if you don't listen to God, to the time when they were in exile, to the time after the exile, when God promised a return, a rebuilding of the kingdom. But these are the kinds of things all the way back in the Old Testament that God was concerned about. A full life. If you get rid of unfair practices, quit blaming victims, quit gossiping about other people's sins, if you are generous with the hungry and start giving yourselves to the down and out, your lives will begin to glow in the darkness. Your shadowed lives will be bathed in sunlight. I'll always show you where to go. I'll give you a full life in the emptiest of places. Or Isaiah 32. No more will fools become celebrities, nor crooks be rewarded with fame. For fools are fools, and that's that. Thinking of new ways to do mischief, they leave a wake of wrecked lives and lies about God. Turning their backs on the homeless, hungry, ignoring those dying of thirst in the streets, and the crooks. Underhanded sneaks they are. Inventive in sin and scandal, exploiting the poor with scams and lies, unmoved by the victimized poor. But those who are noble make noble plans and stand for what is noble. In chapter 33, the answer is simple. Live right. Speak the truth. Despise exploitation. Refuse bribes. Reject violence. Avoid evil amusement. This is how you raise your standard of living, a safe and stable way to live, a nourishing, satisfying way to live. It doesn't take much time in the Old Testament prophets to realize what God's interested in. Justice for everyone. Compassion for the down and out. Fairness. Mercy. And these are the same things that Jesus talks about. He is very much in continuity with the Old Testament. Love God, love neighbor. We know that's what it boils down to in the end. That it's not possessions that make us who we are. It's not honors or glory that make us who we are. It is our relationship with God and our relationship with each other and the world that make us who we are. That tell us who we will be forever. And forever is that big picture that Jesus is always pointing us forward to. Everything on this earth will crumble. This is fool. This night, your life will be demanded of you. And we will be held accountable for our actions. But Jesus offers us a way out of looking only toward worldly things, worldly acclaim, worldly accumulations. Jesus offers us relationship. And relationship is remarkably simple. Pure and simple. This is a story that Mike Iaconelli tells in his book, Dangerous Wonder, about his kid who was in a t-ball league. He said, last year my son played t-ball. Needless to say, I was delighted when Dylan wanted to play. Now on the other team there was a girl I will call Tracy. Tracy came each week, I know, since my son's team always played her team. She was not very good. She had Coke bottle glasses and hearing aids in one ear. She ran in a loping, carefree way with one leg pulling after the other, one arm windmilling wildly in the air. But everyone in the bleachers cheered for her, regardless of what team their child played for. In all the game I saw, she never hit the ball, not even close. It sat there on the tee, waiting to be hit. And it never was. Sometimes after 10 or 11 swings, Tracy hit the tee. For you know, in t-ball, that ball sits on a plastic tee, waiting for the batter to hit the ball, which happens once every three batters. Any former t-ball coaches? The ball would fall off the tee and sit on the ground 6 inches from home plate. Run, run, yelled Tracy's coach, and Tracy would lope off to first, clutching the bat in both arms, smiling. Someone usually woke up and ran her down with the ball before she reached first base. Everyone applauded. The last game of the season, Tracy came up and through some fluke or simply in a nod toward the law of averages, she creamed the ball. She smoked it right up the middle through the legs of 17 players. Kids dodged it as it went by her, looking absentmindedly as it rolled unstopped, seemingly gaining in speed, hopping over second base, heading into center field. And once it reached there, there was no one to stop it. Have I told you there are no outfielders in T-ball? Well, there are for 3 minutes in the beginning of every inning, but then they move into the infield to be closer to the action, or at least closer to their friends. Tracy hit the ball and stood at home delighted. Run, yelled her coach, run! All the parents, all of us, we stood and we screamed, run, Tracy! Run, run! Tracy turned and smiled at us and then, happy to please, galumphed off to first. The first base coach waved his arms round and round where Tracy stopped at first. Keep going, Tracy, keep going, go! And happy to please, she headed to second. By the time she was halfway to second, 7 members of the opposition had reached the ball and were passing it among themselves. It's a rule, of course, in our T-ball that everyone on the defending team has to touch the ball. So the ball began to make its long and circuitous road toward home. Passing from one side of the field to the other, Tracy headed to third. Adults fell out of the bleachers. Go, Tracy, go! Tracy reached third and stopped, but the parents were very close to her now, and she got the message. Her coach stood at home late calling her as the ball passed over the first baseman's head and landed in the fielding team's empty dugout. Come on, Tracy. Come on, baby, get a home run. And from third, Tracy started toward home, and then it happened. During the pandemonium, no one had noticed the 12-year-old geriatric mutt that had lazily settled itself down in front of the bleachers, 5 feet from the third baseline. As Tracy rounded third, the dog, awakened by the screaming, sat up, wagged its tail at Tracy as she headed down the line. Dog's tongue hung out, mouth pulled back in an unmistakable canine grin, and Tracy stopped right there. Halfway home, 30 feet from a legitimate home run. She looked at the dog. Her coach called, come on, Tracy. Come on home. Coach went to his knees behind the plate, pleading. The crowd cheered, go, Tracy, go, go, Tracy. She looked at the adults and her own parents, shrieking and catching it all on video. She looked at the dog. The dog wagged its tail. She looked at her coach. She looked at home. She looked at the dog. Everything went in slow motion. She went for the dog. It was a moment of complete, stunned silence. And then perhaps not as loud, but deeper, longer, and more heartfelt, we all applauded as Tracy fell to her knees to hug the dog. 2 roads diverged on third baseline, and Tracy went for the dog. I tell you this story because even as lifelong Christians, many of us get caught up in goals. Goals to pay off the bell tower, or goals to get to heaven, or name your personal goal. But in Christ, the journey itself is the goal. Compassion on the way is the goal. And the prize is a relationship with Christ Jesus. that surpasses, profoundly surpasses anything the world has to offer us. As you go about your week this week, let's try not to tell Jesus what to tell other people. See what he has to speak to our hearts. And may the peace of Christ that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.